Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From Autosport.com and Autosport Magazine, I'm Martin Lee, and this is the Autosport Podcast. Max Verstappen's 23rd pole position in Formula One, his first in Monaco, and possibly the best qualifying lap he's ever driven. That he's finished. See what I did there. Let's get up to speed with our man Jake Boxall-Legg, who is in Monaco this weekend. Not the first time he's there. He's covered Formula E when Formula E's been in Monaco, but it's still, I guess, the first time you've covered it for Formula One. So a very special experience. JBO, welcome to the podcast. How is your Monaco experience going?
It's been very good so far, thank you, Martin. Obviously, very, very different to Formula E. The media centre is a lot more full. Formula E is usually a bit of an overtaking extravaganza because it's one of the bigger circuits on the Formula E calendar. We're staying in just outside of Nice, so we're not quite living the Monaco luxury life, as it were, but we're looking forward to tomorrow.
I was joking with Codders on WhatsApp this week about last year in the media centre when a certain journalist hoovered up all of the complimentary light refreshments and sandwiches when all the other journalists were working. I was winding him up on messages this week and he said, no, seriously, we're currently buying our packed lunch boxes to take into the media centre. And I'm like, you see the glitz and glamour, you see the boats. What you don't see is hard-working autosport journalists packing a lunchbox in Monaco, but... you know, you got to have your sandwich at lunchtime.
Exactly.
It's not glitz and glamour. That was an incredible pole lap from Max Verstappen. Everyone, of course, is talking about the final sector where he overturned a 0.4 deficit to Fernando Alonso, who had the pole position almost in his pocket. And before that, Esteban Ocon. It was a really competitive qualifying. I think one of the most enjoyable sessions of Formula One, of motorsport that I've watched in a really, really long time. It was really competitive. All the advantages that the teams have got, particularly Red Bull with their aero and any engine advantages, it's just all dialed down here. And so very, very tight, very competitive. It felt like anybody could have been on pole. It is, of course, Max Verstappen. He had the most amazing final sector, but I don't think the whole lap is getting enough credit, but we'll get into that in a minute. What did you make of Max Verstappen's pole lap today?
Well, as I said to you off air, the media centre was all watching very, very intently, and Fernando Alonso put in his lap, and everyone was like, ah, a different pole position winner, someone that's not a rebel on pole. But the more eagle-eyed people were like, well, Verstappen's still doing a lap, Tsunoda's still doing a lap, one of them is more likely to take pole than the other, but let's see. And I think a lot of people maybe wrote him off after the end of Sector 2. He was 0.2 down at that point, but he'd already done a lap earlier in the session, actually, where Alonso had set the fastest time of the session, and then Verstappen had been about 0.2 down, and then nailed the final sector, brilliant through the swimming pool and through Rascas, and suddenly he's 0.3 up. He did exactly the same again on that final run. I think people were looking at that second sector time. The commentators particularly, you could kind of overhear it. They're going, oh, he's 0.2 down. But they just had to watch and wait. And as Verstappen sort of unwound the lock from the RAS cast, got through Anthony Noakes and across the line, he'd found that 2 tenths plus extra change. So it was a very, very strong lap and a very strong final sector.
People are just talking about the pure, sheer driving talent of who we saw. Not just Max Verstappen, but certainly it was just incredible to see him doing so well today. But Fernando Alonso as well. He came so close to starting on pole. On a different day, do you think Aston Martin were right to be optimistic about today?
I think so. And I think, well, they've exceeded their expectations because Aston Martin hasn't been, you know, it's a fantastic car, obviously, but it's strength from the race, not in qualifying. And, you know, Fernando Alonso said in the press conference that P2 is actually, you know, something that the team can be very, very happy with. It's a front row start. And, you know, even if you consider that maybe the Red Bull at the start isn't quite as strong as the Aston Martin, you know, maybe not, Fernando Alonso doesn't think it will be too much of an advantage because the first the straight is so short. Verstappen was pretty unstoppable. It took just one mistake between Alonso's lap and Verstappen's lap to change the picture, but it was a very, very clean run all the way through. Everybody was just showing their absolute best, and it was so close. It was just 0.084 seconds between them, but I think that's kind of the measure of the picture, really.
Just amazing, incredible. Now, we were talking about how awesome Max Verstappen was today. What we also need to mention is that it's a terrible day for the team because they've got a really big rebuild to do before the event tomorrow, as Sergio Perez at Sandevot had a really, really big off. What do you make of that accident? Because it was a big hit in Q1 where he wasn't particularly under pressure. Christian Horner mentioned that he might have been distracted from, I think it was an Alpine coming out of the pits. But what did you make of Sergio Perez's big off today?
In Monaco, it's all about where you select your braking point, and everybody's going to try and push that as hard as they possibly can, because the less time you spend on the brakes, and if you can carry as much speed through the corner as you can, then you're going to find the lap time. And turn one is very, very make or break. And we saw through practice as well that if you've got the confidence through that corner, you carry a huge advantage through the entirety of the first sector, because the rest of it is so rhythm based, you know, the run up to through Beau Rivage, up to Massenet, through Casino Square and down to Mirabeau. You carry that advantage through, and it's so important to get that corner right. Distraction or no, Perez just overcooked it, to be honest with you. And you could see him trying to get back control of the car because, you know, he'd clearly lost the rear end at that point. He was trying to put the same steering lock in. But when you're trying to do that at a faster speed, either you understeer slightly into the wall or you oversteer and then correct and go into the wall, which is what ended up happening. So it is ultimately his mistake, and he has admitted to that. I think he was beating himself up pretty badly. Ultimately, he did make a very, very costly mistake. And P20 in Monaco it's not like he can do what he did in Bahrain in 2020 and come from all the way from the back and win. It's going to be a huge challenge to even get any points, to be honest with you.
And because of the way the marshals are so good at what they do here, it's a street circuit that they've got plenty of practice of removing cars. We saw it with Lewis Hamilton. Toto Wolff joked about it, like, oh my goodness me, that car was in the air a long time. And the same with Sergio Perez. Now, if anybody was still wanting to have a really nice high-def set of photographs of what the underneath of the Red Bull looks like, the way to do that is to ensure that it's lifted up on a big old crane, which is just the worst result. Now, we will get into Mercedes-Benz because, of course, as our technical editor, I'm sure we want to pick your brains on that. But we do have a penalty to get into. In qualifying, it was Verstappen, Alonso, Leclerc. Starting grid, Leclerc will start sixth, though. Why was that?
So he has been given a 3-place penalty, and that's because he was found to have blocked Lando Norris in the tunnel. And it was pretty clear-cut, to be honest with you. Norris was on a lap. Leclerc was dawdling in the tunnel, and it's really, really difficult for the drivers when you go through the tunnel, because as you're coming through Poitiers and you go into the tunnel, suddenly the change in light conditions that can kind of blind you a little bit, and you have to take a split second to kind of adapt almost. And you can kind of see it on the onboard cameras as well. And you know, Lando has that moment to adapt to the change in light conditions. And, oh, there's a Ferrari in the way. And he's trying to get around and he's not quite sure which direction to go. Eventually goes down the inside as Leclerc pulls off to the side. But it was pretty cut and dried, to be honest with you. The only issue was that we were waiting around for quite a while for the penalty to drop, maybe like 2 hours or so, when it was honestly something that possibly could have been done in 2 minutes. But that's neither here nor there. We got the result, and he starts sixth.
So what is that? Was that penalty? Was that a grid drop penalty, or was it his fastest line time being deleted? What's the actual sanction handed out, if you like, to Leclerc?
No, so that's just a straight 3-place grid drop in that he did he did a bad thing and has to pay the price for it. So
absolutely. So it starts with Verstappen leading on the clean side of the grid, Fernando Alonso. Verstappen, double world champion, much more mature driver, but ultimately as hungry as ever. If it's a 50-50 going into the first corner, look, he's up against someone who is the ultimate chess player, you know, Fernando Alonso. Can always bail out, I suppose, and cut the corner. If it's a 50-50 going into Zandvoort tomorrow at the beginning of the race, what do you think Max Verstappen's going to do? Do you reckon he takes the long term and thinks, you know, I don't need to crash here, or does he want to win this one? What do you reckon?
He wants to win. It's as simple as that. And he'll have the inside line for it, so it's going to be quite tough for Fernando to get past. He's going to have to get a monster start and then cut across. To ensure that he gets that line, Max can just kind of stay where he is. And if Fernando's on his outside, he's going to run that to the wall and make him back out of it, basically. That's how it usually is. That's how it usually goes. He's a smart cookie, Fernando. I think he'll know what to do. So it entirely depends on how it happens tomorrow. If Verstappen's a little bit slow off the start, then equally Alonso's going to pounce on it.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, it's going to be box office tomorrow because you've got two drivers who I think fully respect each other. This is Alonso's best chance to win a race this year, but on the other hand, I suppose, you know, he is thinking the ultimate long-term, you know, game, and, you know, a second place trophy would be a very good result for Aston Martin in Monaco. But also, that should be Sergio Perez, shouldn't it? That's the difference, isn't it, between Perez and Verstappen, in that to beat Max Verstappen over the course of a season, and there's been a few people talking Perez up, oh, he can win the championship this year. I think there was that message, wasn't there, in Azerbaijan, where he was like, oh, I know, we can still win, like outside of the garage can still win. Well, you can't. You've got to beat Max Verstappen over the course of a season, and you're not going to be world champion by binning it in Q1. Like, you need to build up to that and at least push Max completely. Did you get a chance to talk to Sergio Perez or any of the Red Bull team about that? It's just an absolute disaster for you know, Perez. It's just the so-called street circuit expert to be pushing that hard that early. That's just not how you're going to beat Max Verstappen over the course of a season.
No, ultimately it's about how high can you jump. And every time Perez sets the bar, Verstappen sets it a little higher. And you have to, you know, keep going and keep going. And they do keep going and keep going. And ultimately, Verstappen's going to be the one that jumps the highest, and Perez will eventually hit the bar, and that'll be that. I think that's just, you know, it's not pulling favourites, it's just ultimately comparing the two, and that's the way it's been over the last couple of years since they've been teammates. that's ultimately it. And Perez couldn't, on some days Verstappen won't be able to jump as high, but over the course of the season, yeah, he's just going to be the stronger driver, and Perez has to do something differently. And trying to do what Verstappen, because we saw this with Lewis Hamilton and Nico Rosberg. Rosberg was trying to do what Hamilton was doing, and in 2014 it got him pretty far, got him very close to the end. In 2015 it didn't really happen, and so he had to do something different. And it was all about, how do you win that mental battle? How do you put your teammate in a position that they don't want to be in mentally? How do you exert that influence? You can't just necessarily try and do it on track, because Verstappen's a prodigious talent, and Perez is, I think he obviously wants to win a championship, but I don't think he'll necessarily go to the lengths that he needs to do so.
Absolutely. Well, that's he shouldn't sleep well tonight, because that is just a massive, massive mistake for him. That's me being kicked out of the Sergio Perez fan club, no doubt. I'll get my marching orders on that one, but I think he's had a stinker today. Look, who hasn't? Well, that'll be Esteban Ocon in the Alpine with Renault power that's not the best on the grid, but like I say, those differences are all kind of minimized around here. Just brilliant, starting again on the clean side behind Max Verstappen. Second row is going to be Ocon and Sainz in that Ferrari, which still looks like a handful to me. I mean, what do I know? But it just looks like, well, Sainz fourth and Leclerc demoted to sixth. It just doesn't look comfortable or easy to drive, or malleable on track. And then between all of those, Lewis Hamilton in fifth in the Mercedes, his teammate George Russell in eighth, second Alpine of Gasly in seventh, finishing off the top 10, Tsunoda in ninth, who at times topped the timesheets today. Obviously, everyone's had some sequence and stuff, but still. And Lando Norris, yeah, as you say, hindered in Q3, lines up ahead of his teammate in 10th with Oscar Piastri, who I think, I know, 11th, obviously, it would be seen as not a great result, but around Monaco, he's kept it out of the wall. He's kept it clean. He's kind of built up over his weekend, started very, very slow. So good luck to the Mercedes, McLaren Mercedes drivers tomorrow. Let's talk a little bit about Merck then, as our technical editor. Jake, you finally arrived in Monaco, and the teams will have to put their cars on show these days and tell us what changes they've made. We talked about six big ones yesterday on the podcast with Sam that we did on Friday, the noticeable ones, things like the side pods and the shape of the sides of the car. As our technical editor, what did you make of Mercedes when they rolled out of the garage yesterday or Thursday, whenever it was?
Well, actually, we had a kind of chance to get a little bit of insight, because Mercedes usually gives us a little bit of a debrief on how things are going in the team. Now, the drivers have kind of tried to be a little bit circumspect with how they talk about the new updates, because as many people have said, it's Monaco, and you can't really realistically judge the updates, because it's a circuit unlike any other. You're definitely going 100%, but naturally you kind of want to preserve the car a little bit more, so maybe you're not taking everything out of it, let's say. You're not making the most of those new parts. But ultimately, the signs seem to be as thus, which is that the updates have caused no new problems to the car. The drivers have found braking stability to be a little bit stronger, and that's through a revised suspension package as well. So it's not just necessarily side pods, but also Mercedes trying to make the most out of their car mechanically rather than just purely aerodynamically, because that's something that Red Bull has been able to do so well this season and so well last season as well. So there's that greater stability. It's still at a very early stage, and Lewis Hamilton and George Russell as well, to an extent, but Hamilton was probably the more vocal of the two about it. Probably didn't find it the easiest car to drive around Monaco, and part of that, I think, is just having all of these new components, and you're not really able to tune them in properly. You kind of have to run what you brung, really. And when we get to Barcelona, particularly next weekend, because it's such a, it's a circuit that everybody knows well. It is somewhere that is a much more traditional Formula One circuit. There's going to be lots of opportunities in practice and things like that to actually try things out. In practice in Monaco, it's all about trying not to put it in the wall and find confidence for a qualifying lap, and race runs are pretty secondary to that. So I think it's an encouraging start for sure. with all of these updates. As you say, yeah, the side pods are the big ticket item there, but there are changes elsewhere down the car, as I say, with suspension, a little bit of floor and that sort of thing, just because these new parts need to complement each other, and sticking new side pods onto a car on its own isn't necessarily going to do a whole lot. It might hinder you more than anything else.
Well, let's have a look at who else was a hero today and who was more of a zero. Well, look, I mean, I want to say amazing Fernando Alonso, obviously, for a second place on the grid. I'm saying amazing for Esteban Ocon in that Alpine. And Gasly as well, seventh. You know, Alpine senior management there have been very unhappy with how the season's gone so far, piling pressure on the team. But that's a brilliant, brilliant result today. Not great for Lance Stroll in the second. Aston Martin down in 14th. Pretty bad for Haas in their 150th race, wasn't it?
Yep.
This weekend in 17th and 18th for Magnussen and Hülkenberg. That's pretty forgettable. Bottas doing all right in 15th. And Zhou down in 19th. Of course, Perez, like I say, in last place with a lot of work to do. I mean, plenty of stuff. I've not looked at the kind of results, the news of that. I don't know if you've heard anything, but that's, you know, two sides of the car to rebuild, or two corners to rebuild, and maybe a gearbox, and floor even looked like it took a whack as well. So that's a big old job tonight and tomorrow for the engineers. Yeah, I think that's pretty much sums up where we are. Who haven't we mentioned? De Vries in the second AlphaTauri. Great for Tsunoda. Nick De Vries down in 12th. I think he should be pretty happy with that. What they can do on Sunday afternoon, though, well, it's Monaco. So it's going to be a bit of a procession, but we know there's going to be safety cars, virtual safety cars, maybe a red flag. How's the weather? I've not looked at that. It looked pretty nice today on the tele coverage. Is it going to be the same again, or could that throw a curveball in? Have you looked at the forecast?
In where we are at the moment, it reckons around race time of about 3 o'clock, 80% chance of rain. Whether that's reliable or not, that is... we'll find out tomorrow for sure. We're going to have to look out the window and see.
Absolutely.
But even if it's wet or dry, we've got a lot of cars kind of, maybe you'd consider them out of position, a lot of different cars in different places. Keep your fingers crossed, keep your toes crossed, and hopefully we'll have a classic.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to be Fernando Alonso's strategy tomorrow, that if he is clearly a second going into the first corner, just to follow Max Verstappen and look after the car, look after the tyres, and then wait and see. Yeah, maybe Max will pit first and Alonso can put in a few stunning laps. I don't think that's going to happen, though. I think Max is going to try and have it all covered off. But, you know, people can pit at a certain time and then somebody just randomly hits the wall and it throws it all up in the air. Can't wait to see. JBR, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. Of course, tune in on Sunday for our big old Monaco review sometime on Sunday night. Monday, look out for our Indy 500 review with our man Charles Bradley and Mandy Curry, who are both at the event. I can't wait to talk to them about the Indy 500. If you're watching both events tomorrow, what a treat for motorsport fans tomorrow it is. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next one.
Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.